Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today is a special day. It's the first day of year 9 of Bringing Inspiration to Earth. And today, my very special guest is Janae Paillette, and we are talking about her new book, Living an Orgasmic Life, Heal Yourself and Awaken Your Pleasure. Living an Orgasmic Life is written for anyone who finds sex challenging or feels uncomfortable with their sex life. Women who are alienated from their erotic side due to sexual abuse or trauma will find healing balm in these pages. Women who can't surrender into pleasure, can't sustain intimacy, or who want to reclaim and feel empowered in their sexuality will greatly benefit from this book. Challenges with sexuality are all too common in our society and not frequently discussed in an open and thoughtful manner. In Living an Orgasmic Life, Janae explores the many reasons that cause women to disconnect from their sexuality, including shame, body image issues, sexual abuse or trauma, physical wounding, and fears of intimacy. She teaches practical advice and tools to help women awaken to their sexuality in a healthy way and reclaim their libido. Janae is a certified Somatica sex and intimacy coach, a sexological body worker, holistic pelvic care practitioner, and tantra educator. She is on the faculty of Ecstatic Living Institute and the Somatica Institute and teaches regularly at Good Vibrations in San Francisco. For more information, you can visit her website, which is myawakebody.com. Again, it's myawakebody.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Janae to the show. Good day. Thanks for joining me.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I am delighted. And congratulations on 9 years broadcasting. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. When I first started, I didn't know if I was going to make it 1 year. I'm just having too much fun to stop. So,
awesome.
It was funny. You know, when I got the information from your publicist about you and your book, my first reaction was, oh no. You know, it's like, do I really want to talk about, you know, women and sexuality? You know, and so it's one of those areas that it's like, you know, kind of outside my little comfort zone. But then, you know, I was reading down, and one of the things that you had that was had in the pitch was about, you know, how, you know, it's difficult for people to talk about it. I thought, well, you know, there it is. I need to talk about it because it's difficult to talk about. So that was it. I decided that, you know, if I need to make myself more comfortable in this zone. But so this is why we're here today. So now, I usually like to have
thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that because, you know, it is an issue that nobody wants to talk about it. And so I really appreciate you, like, finding it, the courage inside of yourself and the awareness, like, yes, I'm going to push my edge. And by you talking about it, like, you're helping to make it okay for all of the people, all of your listeners, right? Like, so I really, really appreciate that.
You know, my pleasure. You know, when in my first year of the show, I had an author come to me to be on the show, and her book was about finding her spiritual path, being married to a sociopath, and I was like, oh my God, you know, this is really crazy, and again, it was early on in the show, you know, in my, the, doing the show, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead, you know, like today, and step out and do it. And it was one of the shows that wasn't one of the highest listened shows, but it made, I mean, I got the most feedback from women who found, you know, comfort and direction from the guest's website and resources. And it was at that time I decided I'm not going to look at numbers anymore. It doesn't matter who listens, but who gets what they need. So I have a feeling today is going to be one of those shows as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So I usually like to start by having the guests kind of talk a little bit about their journey and what got them to what they're doing now. And yours is quite interesting, from lawyer to a sex and intimacy coach. So I'd love to hear how that path kind of came to be.
Yeah, well, thanks. I think if you had asked me, you know, 40 years ago, are you going to be a sex and intimacy coach? I would have looked at you like you were absolutely crazy, right? Like, it was absolutely like the last thing on my mind.
That wasn't in the 5 or 10 year plan?
It was not in the 5 year plan, not in the 10 year plan, not in any year plan. And as you said, I was a healthcare lawyer for most of my career. But I was living in a sexless marriage, and I stayed in that relationship for, you know, like over 20 years, like maybe 25 years to be precise. There were challenges around my own sexuality. For me, sex had always been really painful and uncomfortable from the very, very first time I ever had sex as a teenager. And it just never got any better. And so everything having to do with sex, whether it was like birth control or pregnancies, anything, were hard. And a drag and a lot of drama. And, you know, my husband was really tried hard to please me, but I never had really any pleasure, never had orgasms. And, you know, when it's like that and there's a lot of drama, and then there starts to get like uncomfortable conversations that you don't want to have and disappointment, like you just stop having sex because it's the easiest thing to do. And it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision, but it happened over like a period of, you know, years. And then, you know, we stopped having sex, and then we stopped cuddling, then we stopped kissing, and then we stopped sleeping in the same bed. And that lasted for like 10 years. And that was kind of where I found myself at. And I didn't really miss it, to be honest with you, at the time. I was like, all right, I've got a busy career and I've got 2 children and, you know, our life is full. We were good parents. We had a good family life. We just weren't lovers. And so I didn't think I was missing anything. It was fine. But when, when I turned like in my mid-40s, and I knew that the marriage was going to be ending sometime in the next couple of years, I realized, like, oh, I actually have to deal with this. Like, I can't keep my head in the sand anymore. And so I did. I started doing work on myself and trying to understand what was going on for me. I met somebody once I separated who had done some tantra or sacred sexuality, just a little bit of it. And he introduced me to that type of relationship, and it was completely different than anything I'd ever experienced before. And that really became my doorway to my own sexual healing and awakening. But it was a many-year journey. It was a many-year process of, you know, recognizing what was going on for me, the way in which I was totally disconnected from my body and my sexuality, healing a lot of trauma that I never had really realized was there. And finally, like, you know, being in a place where I could start to experience sex as pleasure rather than as painful.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and of course, following that journey is the perfect personal experience to allow you then to be a coach for others who are in, you know, the beginning of the same kind of situation that you were in.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely, like I said, it was never my intention to do this. I was very much a business, I'm still a business person, but I was very much in the corporate world. I just got, you know, I had a calling, you know, it called me, right? It was like, you have to do this. I'm like, oh, okay.
I know the feeling.
You know, but in truth, you know, I am incredibly passionate about helping women and couples, and I work with some men as well, just to not be in the place where I was, not have to accept that you have to live in a sexless marriage for 20 years. Like, that's crazy. A lot of people do it, but it's so crazy.
Yeah, it is, you know, but, you know, like you said, it's one of those things that just happens, really, over a period of time, you know, just, and if you don't give attention to it, then it goes away. So, you know, why do you think it's so hard for people to talk about sex? You know, when we're surrounded by it, you know, what do you feel are some of the reasons why it's hard for people to talk about it?
Well, you know, I think that sex is something that's very, very important to us, but also innately personal. And I think we have in our society created this like dichotomy where, like, just like you said, like, everything's about sex, and sex sells everything, right, including hamburgers. And yet there's a lot of discomfort and shame around sex because of all of the messaging that we got, not from pop culture, but for most of us, but from parents and from religious institutions and cultural institutions, and then just seeing how sex was or was not, like, talked about or modeled in our own households. Like, so many people tell me my parents never touched each other. I never saw them touch each other, right? And, like, look at those messages that we're getting around that, like, oh, okay, it's not okay to touch each other. Well, sex must be bad. So the cultural word, the word that comes up often is this shame. You know, we have a lot of shame around our sexuality. We have shame around touching ourselves. Like, if you were somebody who was, you know, well, I didn't even say, like, caught masturbating, but not even that. Like, just think about little kids, you know, they touch themselves and their hand gets swatted away, right? And so, you know, we start to get these conscious, unconscious messages like, oh, this is bad. I'm not supposed to touch myself. And that's, I think, a big part of what happens in our culture. It's different in other countries. In some other countries, you know, there's more of an acceptance of sensuality. Like, I would say a lot of the Latin countries, Brazil, right? There's a lot more sensuality in the air. It's a lot more accepted than it is in you know, the United States and parts of Europe, like the UK, you know, Protestants. Catholic areas of the country. Yeah, there is a difference. There is definitely a difference. You definitely see that when you travel abroad. And I hear that from clients coming from different cultures.
Yeah. And I mean, it is very much a cultural thing. And you know, like you say, you know, particularly in a household, you know, depending on your household that you grew up in, you know, it quite often, you know, isn't discussed until they have the birds and the bees, you know, conversation, which is like, okay, you know, let's kind of try and, you know, make a try and discuss something that has absolutely nothing to do with sex, you know, birds and bees, you know. Yeah. So now,
if they have that conversation, right? Like, half of the time we don't even have those conversations with our children because we have our own children.
Exactly.
That's part of the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And so one of the things that's talked about is a sexual blueprint and how it affects or impacts, you know, adult sexual interactions. So is that blueprint something like we're talking about that is the beliefs that are set in motion in our childhood?
Yes, definitely. That blueprint is set in motion, it not only in our childhood, but also just like some early sexual experiences. It could be childhood sexual experience. It could be teenage sexual experiences as well. But all of those messages and experiences that we have form what is our blueprint, which really dictates our relationship with sex as an adult. So like, for example, if you had like, the first time you had sex, it was great, it was fun, it was wonderful, you know, whoever it was with, right, whether you were connected or whatever, it was a positive experience, then you're more likely to have, you know, a positive experience about sexual experiences. If it was, for me, if it hurt, if it was painful, if there's a lot of anxiety around it, that became my blueprint. It was like, oh, sex is uncomfortable, sex is going to hurt me. And then your body starts to have that memory of like, oh, yeah, it was fun, you know, I can be relaxed, or, oh, my God, no, it's going to be painful, I'm going to get all tensed up.
Yeah, very much. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, you know, when it comes time to looking at those blueprints and looking at what we've been taught, and then, you know, kind of reevaluating as we get older. I mean, it's very much like programming for so many beliefs, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, there's a time where we're taught these beliefs, and then as we, you know, get older and more experienced, you know, surrounding those beliefs, then, you know, we question, and then we kind of have to modify our beliefs to, you know, question them and modify to what resonates for us.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, and you're totally right. You know, sexuality is just one of many different beliefs that we get conditioned to. But it's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's a big one, and it can really have a huge impact on our relationships, on intimacy, on, you know, a lot of things in our life. So yeah, it's an important one to really take to really examine. And I do offer in my book an exercise on understanding and looking at your sexual blueprint with lots of different questions. And people find that really helpful because, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, and that happened and that happened. And oh, I remember, you know, my mother told me this, whatever it was, right?
Right.
And then
right.
you start to see like, oh, okay, I get it. I can see why my beliefs formed the way that they did.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, and it's not until you kind of get those key words or phrases that the light goes on. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, where it might have just been, you know, filed away deep in the recesses of the brain, you know, that just hearing or seeing or reading the words again could be the trigger, you know, to bring that up and, you know, really help you get clarity on the belief.
Totally. Totally
yeah.
true.
Now, when I was looking, you know, and doing the research on some of the reasons that cause women to disconnect from their sexuality, you know, came across a few, and I kind of like to touch on each of them because and get your perspective of how. You know, how these reasons kind of manifest and maybe how, you know, how women can battle against those. So the first one was shame, and you mentioned a little bit about shame. So I read that you feel that it's the nastiest word in the universe.
I do. I call it the nastiest five-letter word in the universe. So I think shame comes up for women in a couple of different ways. First, as we talked about the messages that we receive, a lot of women get the messages that sex is bad, keep your legs shot. If you happen to be, you know, sexually interested and active, then you're slut shamed, right? So like women get it both mm-hmm. ways, often from other women, not just their mothers, but their peers as well. But body shame, and I think this is true for men and women, but definitely as much for women, you know, body shame is really a huge issue because if we don't feel good about our body image, then it's really hard to enjoy sex because we don't want our partner to really look at us, so we want to have sex under the covers or with the lights on.
Lights out.
You know,
yeah.
Lights out, right? And we're constantly, like, thinking about, oh, my gosh, what does my body look like? Or, oh, my God, I put 10 pounds on. You know, what's my partner going to think? Blah, 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 right? And, like, that's a huge piece. Like, when we hold on to all of that, it's really hard to, like, to enjoy ourselves and really, you know, open ourselves up. Because really to open for a woman, particularly for a woman, to be able to really open herself up sexually, like she needs to feel really safe. And safe mm-hmm. both with a partner, but also safe within herself. Like, oh, like I feel good about my body. I feel safe in my body. I feel like my body is, you know, going to be worshipped rather than, you know, somebody is going to say negative things about it, which is a big fear that women have.
Yeah. And, you know, and that whole body image shaming, I mean, it's getting better when you see that, you know, they're, you know, women, you know, claiming their power and their sexuality and confidence in their image, no matter what it is, you know. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, it's getting better. But, I mean, it's still, I think, particularly with teenagers, you know, teenage girls and young women, there is such an ultra focus on, you know, body image that it just seems like it's really leading to, you know, unhealthy kinds of practices and ways of life.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it's definitely true. We're definitely seeing a surge of bulimia and anorexia in young girls, like as early as 7 years of age, which is insane. It also affects like new moms, right? Like, it's very, very common. I just had a baby and I lost, you know, I gained 20 pounds and I can't lose it. And women going through menopause, because we know when women go through menopause, like our body, you know, composition starts shifting as well. So I feel like it's just like, I have yet to meet a woman, seriously, and I've met thousands of them who have ever been okay with their body, like not have something that, you know, they wish was different. And obviously there are varying degrees, but it's a big issue. It's a really big issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you just mentioned that, you know, after having a baby, I mean, you know, obviously that's one area and one time in life, you know, where, you know, getting your body recuperating from such a process, you know, is a challenge. But you know, I see, you know, these celebrities, oh, look at so and so, she just had a baby 2 months ago and look at her now. That's like, you know,
right. Okay.
Thanks a lot for,
right. Exactly.
For, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
Crazy
yeah.
pressure.
It is, you know, it's like, you know, come on, just, you know, let each person, you know, follow their own path. Now, also, obviously a big challenge when it comes to, you know, sexual pleasure and intimacy, if someone has has had sexual abuse or trauma in their life, that obviously throws a wrench, you know, into the process. So obviously each person is different, you know, when it comes to, you know, a journey back from such an experience. And obviously they're forever impacted with that. That being said, how does, for women out there who have had that experience, what would you say to them about being able to get to the point of sex being pleasurable and an experience where they look forward to rather than, you know, shy away from or just completely shut down from that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the most challenging areas to work with because, again, you know, not feeling safe in your body, being triggered when somebody touches you, even though it's your partner who you adore and love, right? It doesn't mean that your body doesn't still often get triggered from a memory. And certainly, as you said, women with sexual abuse or sexual trauma have huge issues around intimacy. They also have huge issues, which we saw last week, around anxiety and depression and mental health challenges as well. But intimacy and sexuality is a very, very common problem. And so, the most important thing I would say to women who have this experience is to get help and get support, to work with a sexual abuse recovery therapist or a coach who can help them work through some of the trauma, or a trauma therapist who can help work through some of the trauma. I do a lot of that with my clients because I'm also trauma trained. Be really gentle and kind to yourself. And, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody, that person needs to be part of the recovery and healing process as well, right? Because, you know, the partner is also experiencing a lot of issues. They're feeling rejected. They're feeling frustrated. They don't know what to do if, you know, their partner gets triggered. So it is an iterative process. It takes, you know, there are layers of working through trauma, but there are trauma modalities that can move pretty quickly, I would say, relatively speaking, to be able to help the body release some of the memories that it has and the actual body memory that it has. So, you know, I spend a lot of time in my book talking about trauma because I think it's a huge issue. It's a huge issue in sexuality. It's, you know, there's hardly somebody who walked through my door who has not had some sort of traumatic experience, sexual violation, both men and women. I guess I want people to know that, you know, it's hard to say this after this last week, but, like, you know, there are people that can be supportive of telling your story. So telling the story is obviously important, but it's not just about telling the story. It's also about working through the triggers that actually have had, you know, a really big impact on you. And having a supportive partner, if you're in partnership, does a lot towards helping to heal the trauma. And, you know, you will be able to come back to a place of connection, of feeling safe, et cetera. But it's a process. I can't tell you that it'll happen that quickly. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Takes a while.
Yeah. Very much. Well, we're going to take just a quick break here, Janae, just for a second. I do want to invite listeners, if you want to call in with questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And then when we come back, I did want to touch on what you just kind of alluded to last week and talk about the confirmation, the Supreme Court nomination, and kind of what happened there, you know, when it comes to discussing and looking at sexual abuse, and then also the Me Too movement, and kind of get your perspective on kind of how that fits into being awakened, you know, for pleasure.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Janae Paillette, and we are talking about her new book, Living an Orgasmic Life, Heal Yourself and Awaken Your Pleasure. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is myawakebody.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Janae.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm
okay.
Here.
Go ahead.
You want me to answer the question about
Let's start with the confirmation. Kind of what, in your opinion, what went right and what went wrong from, you know, constructive discussion about sexual aggression or abuse or attack or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say, you know, trying not to get into the politics of it, that I think that Dr. Lacey Ford was very credible. I think the way in what she described was very consistent with the way individuals who have experienced sexual violations and harassment and trauma respond, right? So she was, you know, the way she remembered certain things, like particularly senses, she remembered laughing, right, for example.
Mm-hmm.
She even talked
mm-hmm.
about that, how, you know, in a trauma response, you know, there are certain sensory experiences that are basically like, you know, branded, if you will, with a branding iron
mm-hmm.
onto the hippocampus. I think it was the hippocampus. But it's
correct.
Part mm-hmm. of the brain, right? Absolutely, you know, true and absolutely consistent. And so, you know, I don't think there's anything that she said or that she did that was that lacked credibility at all. And, you know, from my own perspective, it was
mm-hmm.
just a circus. It was a political circus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, I'm not, you know, yes, I'm a lawyer, but I'm not this type of lawyer, and I haven't practiced law in a long time, so I don't really talk about that
right.
piece of it. But,
right.
you know, I think
right.
I think she did what she needed to do, that she felt it was important to do. And I think what we saw was what happens, and this is why victims are afraid to come forward, is they get re-victimized. And, you know, horrible things were said about them and, you know, like, what do I want to say? You know, like sort of, you know, people are interviewed who really have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just
right.
like
right.
sexual abuse victims get re-victimized when they came forward. And it didn't happen at the hearing. It didn't happen at the hearing. It happened after the hearing. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, you know, was, you know, disgusting in my view. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, the norm of what we see in the sexual abuse piece. So, you know, I think that we're struggling as a country. We're struggling with the Me Too movement. We're struggling with the impact of it on women's lives and men's lives as well. And at the end of the day, I don't, you know, was it the right thing for her to do? For her, yes. I think it was the right thing for her to do. Is it going to have an impact In the short term, I have no idea if it's going to have an impact. It obviously didn't have an immediate impact, right?
And
is it going to want more women to come forward and feel comfortable, or is it going to feel like, you know, the patriarchy is just all powerful? I guess we'll know, and maybe we'll know in the short term in, 4 weeks or so. Maybe it's not even that long, a couple of weeks, which is scary. And we probably won't know the impact of this until this all starts to sort itself out. But, you know, there is just that, you know, there is like an awake process, an awakening that's happening, you know, in the country. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I wish I could tell you that's true, and I think it's certainly true in certain areas like San Francisco, but we're already awake. You know?
Right. I
know.
I love that area.
Exactly. But I don't know that in New York and, you know, the liberal bastions, but I don't know that that's really true. And I feel like there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of need for people to be able to shift the paradigm into, you know, from violation, you know, into, in my opinion, we should be talking about like the importance of, you know, sexuality for women as a way for them to really be empowered, right? When I think about empowerment in the Me Too movement, right, like connecting to our sexuality is like a really critical way for us to be able to move forward, for us to be able to like find the power that women need to find inside of ourselves in these really, really, you know, challenging places that we are in the world right now, certainly in the United States, and it's not just in the United States, right?
But this is kind of like you, kind of like your area. I mean, it's one of those, you know, things that you obviously you know about, you've heard about, you've worked with clients. So I mean, you know, you've got a lot of experience in that area, and you know, and I miss my days in California, you know, when things and people and neighbors were awake. Right now I'm in South Carolina, which is like not only, you know, sleep, but we're talking about dead sleep, you know, and waiting for, you know, waiting for a glimmer of awakeness. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I agree. It seems to me that, you know, what was on display was the, kind of like it highlighted all of the disconnects that happen, you know, between, you know, sexual assault. I mean, you know, we talk about corroboration. Well, you know, there never is going to be that unless it's a rarity, you know, that's going to be the case. I mean, so, you know, and then it's that he said, she said, but, you know, but then again, you have, you know, Whitney. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. And I think this whole process was just brought everything to the forefront, you know, for people to think about and maybe reexamine their beliefs.
Well, I mean, it definitely triggered a lot of people. I mean, you know, I think all of the therapists I've been talking to and my colleagues are like, oh my God, like women are coming out of the, and men, women and men are coming out of the woodwork, right? Like, it was like, you know, being re-triggered. And that's what happens, you know, when there's, you know, something like this happens at such a, you know, such a big national level, but it's like the Anita Hill hearings all over again. Like, really? You know, like we have not, you know, it just shows us how far we have not come and how things have not changed, in the establishment. Right. And so, that's the problem. But can we talk about pleasure?
Yes, I was just about ready to say, you know, that, you know, when it comes to being having more satisfying and fun and, you know, juicy sex life, what are some things that, you know, mind shifts or perspective shifts that can be done, you know, to make things a little spicier, a little and more pleasurable?
Yeah. So I would say that one of the biggest paradigm shifts that we have to think about, there's a lot, but there's two. I would give you the two most important. The first thing is slow everything down. Oh my gosh. We're in such a fast-paced moving society. It's really important to be able to slow things down so that you can really connect with a partner, whether it's like a long-term partner or a new partner, at a level where you can really feel each other, right? And slowing things down allows us to feel more in our bodies. And one of the ways in which sex is better is if we actually have more sensation. So many women tell me, I hate the way I get touched. It doesn't feel really good. It's like obligation sex. I just want to get it over with, right?
Right.
And that's not healthy either, right? Like, we want to be able to enjoy ourselves and feel pleasure and also get what we want, how we actually really want to be touched. And a lot of that has to do with slowing things down. Like, I suggest, don't fall off your chair when I say this. I tell my clients, right, that, 30 to 45 minutes is the minimum amount of what I think is foreplay. Foreplay is necessary for most of the time for women, and especially that as they get older. So many couples, like, if they have 5 minutes of foreplay, that's a lot. We just lose so much when we go just for the, genitals, mm-hmm. just for the intercourse. There's
yep.
so many other erogenous zones and nerve endings and ways to bring, build up the arousal. You can't build up arousal in 5 minutes. It's impossible for women. Men, it's possible.
Right.
It's very possible for men. Right?
Yeah,
we're
right.
built differently,
right.
and I don't think we yeah. all really understand that. So that's the first
yeah.
thing. Slow everything down. And then the second, another really big paradigm shift is touching for your own pleasure. And this is big for both women and men. So most of the times when we touch our partner, we touch them the way we think they want to be touched, right? Maybe we check
mm-hmm.
in with them. Maybe even if we check in with them, right, we're still touching them the way we think they want to be touched. Oh, no, I want it lighter. Oh, no, I want it heavy, whatever it is, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you actually think about touching a partner so that it feels good for you, right? So when I teach this, I have people touch their partner's arms or faces and really think about, like, wow, like, how do I use your hand or your face or your body to make my hand feel good? So I'm actually focusing on how can I touch you so that it feels good for me. So I'm focusing on my own sensation. First of all, that keeps us in our body and out of our head, because when we're in our head and thinking, we have a really hard time enjoying sex. But more importantly, when you start touching your partner for your own pleasure and it feels really good for you, the whole nature of the touch changes. And because it feels good for you, your partner gets like, oh, wow, it's feeling good for him. Awesome. That's making it feel better for me, right? Because, your desire drives my desire, right? So when I'm feeling like
mm-hmm.
you're touching me and I can see, like, you're getting turned on, it's like, oh, that might turn me on as well. And also the touch is different. Like, the touch is much more present when we are touching for our own pleasure. And that is a big, huge paradigm shift for people. Huge.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, gosh, we only have about another minute or so. Now, I did notice on your website that you had like a 14-day free adventure kind of experience. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I have two different websites, and myawakebody.com is an awesome website, and there is a 14-day free adventure, but my main website is actually powerofpleasure.com, So you can go to either one. I have, you know, a lot of different things going on. But yes, I offer a 14-day free body awakening adventure, which is basically 14 days of little audios. It's actually a wonderful website and a wonderful program to start to get into your body, like to really experience what's it like for me to feel sensation. So it's a great place to start. But all my coaching information and the information about my book is actually on the powerofpleasure.com website. So sorry
great.
To complicate things for you there.
No, not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, once the show is concluded, I'll be sure to add the powerofpleasure.com to the show page description. So both of them will be available. So, well, Janae, I really want to thank you for your time. This wasn't as uncomfortable as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yes. Awesome. It's cool. And again, thank you, because like the way in which we normalize shame is like we talk, like we're able to talk about it, and then it just feels less weird because it's like, oh, we're just having a conversation about sex. So like having a conversation
Absolutely.
About, like, you know, what you had for dinner last night.
Yeah, a little different, but yeah, close. That was the dessert. So, well, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you spending your time talking with us and sharing. And, you know, and then I'm sure there are a lot of women out there who would definitely benefit from reading your book and also connecting with you. So, again, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. It was a fun time.
Great. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Janae Paillette. We've been talking about her new book, Living an Orgasmic Life, Heal Yourself and Awaken Your Pleasure. And again, you can find out more by visiting one of the two websites, myawakebody.com or thepowerofpleasure.com. Is that correct? The power of
That's
pleasure?
It's powerofpleasure.com.
Just power of pleasure. Great. I'm glad I confirmed that. Okay. So thank you very much. And everyone, hope you continue to follow us. And again, you know, we're available now on iHeartRadio as well as TuneIn and iTunes. So until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.